I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, Leonard Slatkin previews Notes from Hollywood, a music concert that he's involved in that features work by and about Hollywood film composers and musicians. We'll also look at Metro Theater Company's production of Jackie and Me that tells the story of Jackie Robinson, the first black Major League Baseball player in the modern era. Our guests for that segment include a former Negro League player and the granddaughter of Branch Rickey, who helped integrate the game by signing Robinson for the Dodgers in 1947. We begin with Upstream Theater's production of Café Chanson, conceived and directed by Ken Page. Ken is a St. Louis native and is known for a long career in musical theater, starring in the original Broadway production of Cats, The Wiz, the Broadway revival of Ain't Misbehavin', and just last summer appearing at the Muni in both Aladdin and Dreamgirls. Ken Page, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. Good morning.
Also here, Philip Bame. He's the Artistic Director for Upstream Theater. Hi, Philip. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
Ken, two shows at the Muni last summer. I guess you remember how hot it was?
Remember. I'm still getting over it. Are you kidding? Yeah, it was very hot, during Dreamgirls especially. Aladdin was hot. It wasn't as bad.
And you were like appearing in Aladdin and rehearsing for Dreamgirls all at the same time.
I will never do that again.
I was just talking to somebody. I remember those nights. Weren't there some nights at Dreamgirls where it was 90 degrees at showtime?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or
it was
more?
Warmer than that, yeah. Yeah, it didn't cool off at all a couple of nights.
And you wore a big old heavy suit, I think.
Yeah. I was the manager. I had to look official and so forth. But I think I had still less than some other people. They were changing costumes every 5 minutes. So.
Yeah. Well, in the movie, you played the club's owner, but at the Muni, I guess you were Jimmy Early's manager.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I played Max Washington in the film and Marty in the stage show.
And just so everybody knows, you officially, I guess, got your professional start at the Muni, didn't you?
I did. At 18, I was in the singing ensemble. I differentiate because then there was a dancing and singing.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dance.
No.
I make sure nobody can call me on it. I was in the singing ensemble. But I did start that. I got my equity card there.
Wow. All right. Philip Bame, Café Chanson, Paris, World War II. Is that really where it begins?
That's where we're taken. I think it begins at a different time and space, and I'll let Ken explain some
yeah,
of that magic.
Yeah,
There's a magical door there.
Right. Sort of a time travel thing.
It is. Yeah, we start in the present day with a World War II vet who takes us back to World War II Paris, 1944-5. But we do start in the present day, for a brief moment at any rate. And the doorway takes us back.
Well, how did this come about for you? This is a project that you created, so do you have a connection in any way to this storyline?
Yeah, in some ways, in terms of experiences. But first of all, I should say that Carrie Hawke, who's a good friend of yours, I know, called me in representation of Philip and the Upstream Theater Company to do something with them. And it was just back and forth discussion about what we wanted to do. I think the idea was you wanted to do something French.
We had a few years ago made a foray into French territory with our Bastille Day cabaret, and mm-hmm. we were talking about doing something. And when Ken appeared, voila, he's here, and the discussions went to another level.
Well, Ken, you've done your share of cabaret, so is this sort of what this is?
There's an element of it that is born of the world of cabaret, but I was fortunate enough to work in Paris for a little under a year doing Ain't Misbehavin' short after we opened on Broadway. And I went to a few clubs there. One that stuck in my mind particularly was a club called Les Michoux, which I based what we will see as a cabaret portion of the show on that place. And the style of entertainment, which of course has a long history in Paris and so forth. And I think during World War II, as it is in our story, a lot of the soldiers frequented these places. And so I figured in my imagination, based on the idea of the great expatriate who had a club there at Bricktop, that she had a club where a lot of people came and sort of gathered. And at the time, black and white soldiers did not mix, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But at that club, they did. And that sort of set up some of the story parameters for us.
And that part is true.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. Because Bricktop's club opened, I think, in the late 20s. She was there even before Josephine Baker.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was F. Scott Fitzgerald who said his greatest claim was not his writing. It was that he discovered Bricktop before Cole Porter. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of, that's how much of a draw she was to all the artistic American community that went through Paris at that time, which was quite the thing at the time. It was considered the new city, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Philip, is race an important element then in the story or not?
Race is, I think, quite an important element in the story. Exactly how much in the forefront it is another matter, and that's, I think, it's again Ken's creation, and so he'll be able to better describe what dimension that assumes. We don't want to give away too much either.
No.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. Give it away. Come on. No, I think the idea is that just the notion that there are two soldiers, one black, one white, coming from that time, who bonded and had a friendship that was lasting enough to last throughout their lives is enough of a statement to begin with. Because I think if you go back now and talk to any, there are not a lot left, but the World War II vets, you won't find many that had friendships that crossed the color line.
So the main character in this, is this the black soldier or the white soldier?
Well, I'll let the audience decide that.
Oh, that's interesting.
The story's based on the... Well, I shouldn't say that either. I'll let the audience decide.
Let the audience decide. Yeah. It really is. It's very multidimensional, I think.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
All right. Well, let's do it this way.
I'm going to get you to say this. Come on. Let's hear it.
So the play begins in the present day, and it's about a soldier that was in Paris during World War II, and he's gone back, what, to this bar to recapture moments of his
youth? Où sont les neiges d'antan, right? You know, where are the snows of yesteryear, that kind of thing. So there's a bit of that.
Because he's remembering a time.
That was a happy time in his life. Not saying that his life wasn't happy after that fact, but I think as many of us can, we go back to our youth, we realize that it might have very well been the happiest times of our lives because we were learning and we were forming our characters and personalities.
We weren't bitter yet.
We weren't bitter yet, in short. We weren't bitter yet. And I think sometime the openness of our spirit and nature at that time, which was my experience being in Paris, it changed me forever.
Well, and then you're talking about World War II, so there's wartime, being young, being in a strange place.
Sure.
And then when you're time off, being in a night spot like this, meeting people,
and there's
relationships, love.
There you go. Now you're on to it.
A sense of anchoring in a place of profound displacement that a war can bring.
Mm-hmm. And I think a place like our club would have drawn not only soldiers, but I think a lot of people who would have been in Paris at the time, expatriates, soldiers, some of the Jewish community, all of those sorts of people would have gravitated to this sort of place.
Home away from home.
Exactly, sure.
We're talking with Ken Page and Philip Boehm about Upstream Theater's production of Café Chanson, which opens a week from tonight, I guess, and runs through January 27th at the Kranzberg Arts Center. So the soldier goes back to this bar to relive his memory, and of course, I guess he had some romances back in the day when he was here as a young man.
Absolutely.
But there was one that got away?
There always is. And that's all I'm saying. No, there always is one that gets away. And I think particularly in your youthful years, you sometimes don't even realize it till way later in life, that there was
somebody. Is that real, though?
Well, I think for the people spoken to, it is.
Well, when time goes by, do you have a habit of just remembering the good things and forgetting the bad things? You think? No?
Well, I think you might, but that doesn't negate the fact that you still remember that person.
And maybe it wasn't a bad thing. Maybe it was a wistful thing.
Ah. So,
and unfulfilled often is the case. So,
Now we're getting to what I'm interested in.
So maybe a yearning.
So he goes back all these years later. Does he see her?
We didn't say it was years later that he goes back. He just goes back to that time.
This has been the most evasive interview I've ever had.
We're going to get you in that.
That's right.
We're going to get you there.
Well, let's talk about the importance of the music, because we haven't even really mentioned that.
Well, I think the music, for me, in terms of the discovery of it, was the story was first. I thought about what do I want to say, and then I started to look for lyric narrative that would continue the telling of the story. And I also wanted to have a certain contribution and I can't think of the right word for it actually, but to give tribute to the French artists from the period, Charles Aznavour, Edith Piaf, Charles Trenet, Jacques Brel, even years later, people that contributed to what we know as the music cultural landscape of what we think of as French music. So that's how I approached it, and their music to some degree and in some representational ways is included in the score of the show.
Well, you conceived this, you're directing it. Do you have a message for us? that you want us to walk away after this?
There are many, and I'm not being evasive by saying that. There are many, and I think what I've succeeded at, if I have succeeded, is I think everyone will take away their own message. I think there's enough things that are said and brought to light. In terms of reaching a certain age and looking back over your life, I would say the only thing I would want people to take away is the idea of living your life so that you don't have regrets.
Mm. Philip, would you want to mention the cast?
Before we go into the cast, I'd like to say one of the reasons that this show fits so well with our theater is, you know, our mantra is we want to move you and move you to think. That's our goal. And what Ken is doing is offering something that will move you. And the thoughts will come later, I think, as it is only by being moved that those thoughts will linger inside us. And with the live music, and we have a wonderful group of musicians. Henry Palkas is heading that group. The music alone is so moving. And in this show, the music that Ken has chosen is, I think, particularly compelling.
And I wanted it to also feel to the audience the way Paris felt to me after living there for that amount of time. It stays with you for the rest of your life. And you think about it in many different ways. I changed in ways I didn't realize until years after I'd actually been there. It changed the way I thought of myself, the way I thought of culture, multiculturalism. All those sort of things changed from being there. And I hope the show does that a little bit. I know a friend of mine, Lana Pepper, who I'm excited for her to see it because she spent a lot of time in Paris. And for people like that to get a visit back in an hour and a half or something like that is a nice thing as well.
Well, I like what you said about learning to have no regrets. Because how many people do we know that are so eaten up by that?
Absolutely.
And how destructive?
Well, it can be completely destructive. Completely destructive. Because, I mean, we all have some. I mean, I would think it would be very difficult to live your life in a day-to-day present way and have no regrets at all. But to have the minimum is the idea, I think, behind some of the idea of our show. And I think there's a way to approach that.
A very Piaf approach.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is that. And I think the French idiom, and I mean that in terms of culture and everything, is so about living fully and living, have wine, have cheese, have love, fall in love, fight, do everything, but live presently and live fully. And I think that's seated in the idea of living without regrets.
Upstream Theater presents Ken Page's Café Chanson at the Kranzberg Arts Center. That's a Grand and Olive. It will open a week from tonight, which is January 11th, and run through January 27th. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to Upstream Theater's website. People can get tickets that way. I want to ask you something before you go, though. We talked about Dreamgirls that was here this summer, and you were in that when Jennifer Holliday recreated her role.
Greatly.
And I had a chance to talk to her, and I just want to bring something up because she had recorded a gospel album, I think, recently, last few years, I think it was, and she had dedicated it to her gay fans. Those are my words. I don't remember exactly how she put it. Mm-hmm. But I asked her about that. It kind of struck me as unusual. I asked her if she had got negative feedback from her gospel fans because she brought up that subject for reasons that don't really need explaining. She said not really. But then she went on to tell the story. The reason that meant so much to her was her experience in Dreamgirls on Broadway.
Sure.
When she lost so many people.
Absolutely.
Like, was it Michael Hamilton?
Michael Bennett
and other people on the cast.
Sure. Michael Peters.
And just what that did to her and how that touched her. And you have done a one-man show, page to page.
Page by page, yeah.
And you refer to that that same thing in that era as well, losing people to AIDS and how meaningful that was to you.
Absolutely. Well, it changed all of our lives because New York and Broadway were hit particularly particularly hard, as I say, in the show. And it immediately changed the landscape of our everyday experience. I mean, people were literally dropping right next to you. And some of the brightest lights, certainly of the theater, were taken away in that time. Again, like Jennifer said, Michael Bennett, who was one of our great producer-directors, many, 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 many people that we could name, and not just name people that you would recognize, many people. And it changed us forever. For a good 10 to 15 years of our creative life, we were really more turned towards memorials and funerals and loss and those sorts of things than we were the other way. And it changed us forever, I think.
Jennifer Holliday told me that her performance of Dreamgirls in St. Louis could be her last, you think?
It isn't already, might I add. When I heard that, I thought, we'll see about that. And I think she's already doing it in Atlanta.
Oh, is she? I didn't realize so.
Or somewhere. I've heard that it's being done again. She's doing it. She should do it. I think they should do it at the Hollywood Bowl. They've gotten a history of doing musicals one a year. I did Guys and Dolls there a few years ago, and I think they did The Producers last year, and they've done Rent and so forth. And I think Dreamgirls would be perfect.
Well, let's remember Café Chanson, week from tonight, opening, running through the 27th. We want to thank you both for being here. Philip Boehm, Artistic Director for Upstream Theater.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
And Ken, it's a real pleasure and a privilege to finally meet you after all
this
year.
It's a pleasure to be here on NPR, which I love and listen to 24/7. It never goes off my radio dial. And thank you, I want to say, to Philip for allowing me to come under the umbrella of Upstream and do this. It's a great door opening. I've not directed here in the city before. I've directed for years, but not here in the city. And it's a great, it really is.
That's an honor for us.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
We're glad to have you back in town.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Notes from Hollywood with Leonard Slatkin, and later, Jackie and Me, the story of Jackie Robinson. This is St. Louis Public Radio.